It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll talk to a senior at Mosinee High School who's written a book about success. She talks to us about what she's learned and why we should craft our own definition of success. First, fears of a trade war between the United States and China escalated this week. After some initial back and forth between the countries, President Trump announced plans on Tuesday for sweeping tariffs on many Chinese goods. Over 1,300 products would be affected, including things like flat-screen televisions, medical devices, and batteries. Then on Wednesday, China hit back, announcing its own list of U.S. exports that it plans to hit with 25% tariffs, including soybeans, the top U.S. agricultural export to China. The tariffs are designed to target up to $50 billion of U.S. products annually. That matches the $50 billion of Chinese products that the American tariffs would affect. So what does all this mean for the economy and for consumers? Menzi Chin is a professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison. He also blogs about current economic issues at econbrowser.com. Menzi, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Well, where does this go? One side announces tariffs, the other side responds. Does this keep on escalating now?
Well, I think there's a great deal of uncertainty about that, partly because we're in very uncharted territory. I think upon the president's announcement of the what are called Section 301 tariffs, sort of tariffs related to accusations that the Chinese were engaged upon intellectual property violations, you know, the feeling was that they were going to be going forward, partly because of the rhetoric that had been surrounding the announcement of the measures. I think yesterday the president's incoming economic policy advisor, Larry Kudlow, he tried to talk down that sort of fear of a trade war. So here we are, the stock market has largely recovered, and we're unsure if this was just the opening salvo or really we are on the path towards implementing these tariffs. I mean, there's still quite a bit of time. There's a consultation period where comments can be put forward for the proposals, and then we'll actually see if these tariffs are actually implemented. I think Larry Kudlow sort of intimated that maybe we'll never see these tariffs implemented. That's the state of play at the moment.
Does the United States have a legitimate gripe about the way China does international trade?
Oh, absolutely. There are a great number of dimensions upon which we could fault the Chinese for their actions in international trade. These Section 301 measures have to do with the fact that China has not fulfilled its promises fully to crack down on, counterfeiting, trademark and patent infringement, copyright infringement, and so forth. And on top of just counterfeiting of goods. Although it must be said that they have made some progress in recent years in trying to address these issues. So there's this dimension. There's the dimension of, are they dumping goods into the American market? And those have been accusations have been pursued under different measures. So earlier on last year, we had anti-dumping tariffs applied to various items coming from China, like washing machines and solar panels. And then, of course, there were the steel and aluminum tariffs that were imposed on national security grounds. Those actually didn't hit the Chinese particularly hard, partly because they'd already experienced a lot of sanctions placed upon them on, once again, anti-dumping grounds. So there's a whole bunch of dimensions upon which you can fault the Chinese for their trade practices. The question, I think, is whether it's productive to go this route in terms of trying to move them forward towards more cooperative measures.
That's what I wanted to ask next. Is the idea of targeted but apparently widespread tariffs, is that a reasonable tool to use to get redress for our grievances with China?
I think that there could have been a different way of approaching this, taking these issues to the WTO, continued bilateral conversations about trying to push them to impose greater protections for our manufacturers and trading partners. But I think the sort of blunderbuss approach, it's not clear to me where this $50 billion worth of goods number came from. There's some obscure note that the number was arrived at an interagency discussion, but further than that, I'm not sure where $50 billion came from. And, you know, it was obvious that the Chinese would retaliate. And so the question is, was this a credible threat? You know, it was almost a no-brainer that if we were going to put tariffs on a large number of goods, that the Chinese would then, you know, target some obvious sectors like agriculture and aircraft.
Talking to Menzi Chin, economist at UW-Madison, looking at this back and forth of threatened tariffs between the United States and China. And Menzi, let's talk now about how this affects people here in the United States. And let's start with your everyday consumer. If these tariffs all get implemented as threatened by both sides, are we going to notice this when we're buying stuff?
Well, I don't think that in large part we will, because the administration made an effort to avoid putting tariffs on certain things that would have been very obvious, like, for instance, communications equipment coming from China. So, you know, obviously, like an iPhone that is finally assembled in China, even though it's got a lot of foreign components in it, if you put it on a 25% tariff, it would have raised the actual price substantially and noticeably to a lot of people. So to that extent, you probably won't see it directly. On the other hand, you know, whenever you put tariffs on things coming into the United States, it's going to feed through perhaps diffusely to various consumers, or it's going to feed into the production process. So the question is, you know, if pieces of equipment come into the U.S. to be assembled into other things that you're going to export, for instance, then this is going to hurt us. I think the more direct pain would come if the Chinese retaliate, you know, which presumably will occur if we go forward with our tariffs, and that will be concentrated pain. That will be concentrated pain up and down the Midwest, because if you think about it, you know, hogs were retaliated against in response to our steel and aluminum tariffs, and that was just a small amount, like it's like $1 billion worth of goods from us to China. But, you know, if you're talking about, for instance, soybeans, that's like close to $13 billion from a certain number of states in the Midwest. So it's very concentrated. And I think then you'll see in those states a significant amount of pain.
Yeah, I want to focus in on those soybeans. They're getting a lot of attention. I checked out the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. They say there's about 11,000 soybean growers in the state. Quoting here, 65% of Wisconsin soybeans are exported, with much of that demand being driven by China. Ending the quote there. Is this something that is really going to be a hit on agricultural economies in states like Wisconsin?
Oh, absolutely. If the tariffs were to go into effect, it would be a tremendous hit. I mean, China and exports in general constitute a large portion of the market for soybeans, for corn. So you can imagine not just the impact for the farmers, but then all the suppliers to the farmers. And it comes at a particularly problematic time, to the extent that net farm income has been sort of stagnant for several years after declining from some highs about 4 to 5 years ago. So, you know, if these were buoyant times in the farm economy, you know, it'd be something that you might be able to sustain more readily. But now you've got the farmers having to decide what to plant at exactly a time when their fortunes are not particularly promising. It's particularly problematic, I think.
Could this be seen as a negotiating tactic, Menzi? President Trump saying to China, hey, we're willing to escalate here. We're both going to shoot ourselves in the foot for a while. Or you can come to the table and we can talk about these trade practices we don't like grown-ups, and fix them in a better way. This is maybe a threat to work out a better deal.
It could be perceived as just a negotiating tactic on the part of an administration. But, you know, negotiating and threatening, it requires that you be able to make credible threats. It can't be just empty bluster. So you have to weigh on both sides, both the U.S. and China, you know, whether each side is willing to go through with its threats. Now, for the administration, the fact that a lot of the impact in the agricultural sector is going to be in politically sensitive states, states that are critical for the Republican majority in the Congress, I mean, that must certainly weigh on the minds of the president, and it lessens the credibility of following through on the threat. And the Chinese exactly know this. I mean, this is not rocket science. I mean, people have been sort of negotiating, counter-negotiating, and threatening and counter-threatening for decades. using trade sanctions and threats of trade sanctions. So it was almost, once again, a no-brainer that the Chinese would target these particular sectors. So the question you have to ask is, are these threats that the administration are making, are they credible or not? If they're not credible, the Chinese will probably see through that, and it may not be the case that we get anything. On the other hand, you know, the president's made a virtue, I guess, or has attempted to make a virtue of seeming unpredictable, so there is certainly some uncertainty from the Chinese side.
A lot to watch out for. Menzi, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
That's Menzi Chin, professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison. He joined us to talk about dueling tariff threats between the United States and China and what it could mean for consumers.